The scriptures of the Word of God and the good prayer by Matt Burns. And we're just delighted that you're here today. We welcome all of you that are visiting. And just a few moments, we're going to be studying a lesson on what is your life. What a beautiful song to sing here right before our lesson today. Happy New Year, everybody. Just think it's going to come. Hopefully on Wednesday, just around the corner. Boy, when you look back to 2019, what do you view? What do you see? I don't want to begin to try to take up time this morning, all the different trials and things that we personally have gone through, but I want us to be thankful for the good things that God has given us. He has blessed us abundantly. We have many visitors with us today, but our son Timothy is here today. And what a joy it gives our hearts. You know, he had one of those, what they call widowmaker heart attacks the first of the month, or about that time. And what a wonderful blessing to us that he's able to be here today and sitting with his mama. And I'll tell you what, that was one thing, Tim, she was praying for, and that prayer was answered. Glad to see you, son. And then the years upon us. And I'm going to be reading some of these things because I want to make sure I don't make a mistake. Several things will be different at O'Neill beginning the new year. The preacher rotation that we have had for a number of years will be ending. Tonight, Brother Matt Taylor will preach the conclusion of that rotation. I sure am grateful to God and to our good elders for allowing me the privilege to be able to teach them, many of these young men, who do such an outstanding job in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful that these young people have applied themselves and are interested in doing all they can in the kingdom of God. Matt Taylor announced recently that he would be leaving O'Neill to go to Mount Zion to help in the preaching of the gospel at that place. Matt and Leah and their family have been a huge plus for O'Neill, in my judgment. As he said, after his dad, Robert, passed away, he and I have really, really been close together. Paul had a young man that he called and was called Timothy, that he called his son in the faith. I have a special, special feeling for Matt. I'm so pleased to call him my son in the faith. I know that we're all missing, but we're thankful that Matt can do what he dearly wants to do. He wants to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now he's got the opportunity at Mount Zion. And I tell you what, I just know he will be successful and do an outstanding job. What a wonderful wife he has, Leah, and these three children. And we ask God to bless you, son, as you leave us. And we pray that God will be with this family and help them to continue to do the excellent work that he is accustomed to do. Now, it's been announced that our regular full-time preacher will be Mike Richardson. And Mike is anticipating being here this Wednesday night to begin his full-time work with this church. We ask you to pray for Mike and Mary and their two children, Jackson and Sam. Ask God to help them. Let's do all that we can. I'll do everything I possibly can to encourage him and work with him in the kingdom of God. We ask God to bless us in this work together. Would you bow your heads while I pray? Eternal God, Thou who knowest all things, our hearts, our feelings, And we ask you, O God, that you will bless this church with its elders, deacons, preachers, and all the members that are working in your kingdom. Help us to have the right attitude to each other, but most important, to love you with all of our hearts. We do pray that you'll be with each one of our young men who have been taught and who have done a good job in the preaching of the gospel with their families. And we pray now that as Matt and Leah leave us, that you'll be with them and strengthen them, that they may be able to accomplish great good in your kingdom. Forgive us of our sins and lead us gently through life. In Jesus' name, amen. What is your life? Go to now, say today or tomorrow, we'll go into a certain city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. None of us know. I don't. What is your life? Who made that statement, James? Why? Because God wants us to zero in on our making sure our lives are what they ought to be pleasing to Him. He answers, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor, just a mist. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away quickly. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What a question. A biblical question. And I know as the wise man makes the statement in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. But there's a psalm that I want us this morning to take to answer our question. What is your life? It's Psalms 90, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep in the morning, and they are like grass which groweth up. And then listen. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it's cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, even our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Now listen, what is your life? Answer. The days of our years are 70. 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is there strength in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. What is your life? You're going to fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And in view of that, three things the psalmist addresses. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Three things so important. First of all, notice what the Bible says. So teach us. We need the teaching from God. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Teaching. The psalmist says, we need to be taught. Teach us. There was a man whose name was Philip. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there was a man, the Ethiopian eunuch, that was reading from the Scripture. And when Philip came upon him, and he told him, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he answered him. He said, how can I, except someone guide me or teach me? Ah, friends, at verse chapter 8, verse 35 of the book of Acts, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. No wonder we have Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. No wonder Jesus had gone all the world, preached the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they eat of themselves teachers, having itching ears, to turn away you away from the truth. And Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we preach what? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But then secondly, teach us, O Lord, to number our days. That's interesting. Calculate them. How many do you have? Oh, we could talk about the minutes that some speak of when you reach the age of 78, the millions of minutes that you have. Friend, I want to ask you, how many minutes do you have left? How many of you already enjoyed? None of us know. Abraham was 175 years of age. Genesis 25, verse 7, but he gave up the ghost. He died. Isaac was 180 years old. Genesis 35, 28. Jacob was 147 years old. Genesis 47, 28. Joseph was 110 years old. Genesis 50, verse 26. The whole thing is about time. In this, what I read to you a few moments ago, you have the words, generations, everlasting years, yesterday, night, morning, evening, days. Just look at them. Why, he says in verse 1, in all generations. Verse 2, everlasting to everlasting. Verse 4, 1,000 years, yesterday, night, morning. And in the morning it flourisheth, evening. All of this has to do with time. Time. How much time do I have? How much time do you have? Well, he answers you. If you live to be 70, yep, you got 70. But by reason of strength, you've got 80. Guess what? Not a single individual is exempted from what he says. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon, that's time, it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. But then thirdly, teach us to number our days, and, look what he says, and apply our hearts to wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God wants us to be wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. They're only here, we're only here for a while. What is your life? It's just a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for me? What is God's will for you? What is your will for God? What is my will for God? If any of you lack good wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Pray, pray, pray. Ask God to help each one of us, to help you be the kind of person that God wants you to be. I want to consider just a few thoughts that others have expressed. Number one, never allow your frustrations to blind you to your blessings. How many blessings do you have? What is it like to be able to take your hand and dip down into a bowl and get food out of it? What is it like to be able to get out of your bed and walk on your own accord, dress yourself, take a bath? How many blessings do we have? A good home, a good transportation, something to transport us. Count your many blessings. Yes, we get frustrated in this old life, but let that never blind us to the blessings we have. For every good thing comes from God, James 1:18. And remember Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians, he said that all heavenly blessings are found in Christ Jesus in the church. Secondly, may you honestly see your flaws before others see them. The only way you can do that is by constantly examining yourselves. What is your life? Where do I need to make corrections? What do I need to do, Lord? What do you need to do? What am I willing to do? Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? Is that my desire? May you honestly see your flaws before others see them. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? What is Paul saying to these Corinthians? You look at yourself. You examine yourselves based upon what? Based upon the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, continue thou in the continue in the doctrine. If you continue in that doctrine, he says, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Thirdly, seek to be the best you can be, not the worst. I may make up your mind. My life is going to be dedicated to my Lord. I want my last breath to be in the Lord. Got to live that way. Matthew 6:33, Troy read that for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you doing that? Who said that? Jesus. What did He mean? He meant what He said. Seek Him first. In Philippians 1 and verse 27, let your life, your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, may we all have the wisdom and insight to make any journey we take beneficial. Whatever God wants us to do, let us be willing and say, Lord, help me to do that. And the only way I know of that that can be possible for us is to listen to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, where the Hebrew writer says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Almost identical in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And let me tell you, understanding everything, number five, revolves around God and His purposes not us. It should be, Lord, Thy will be done. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All glory to whom? To God. Why are you doing what you're doing? For God. What are you seeking first? God's will. And then He said that God in all things may be, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth him, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That, my friend, is how you can answer your question. What is your life? Realize, great people of faith in the Bible, they were not shielded from disappointments or hardships. You can read Hebrews 11, and one after the other, the trials they went through because they had faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. These great worthies, yes, they had frustrations. Yes, they had problems. But they had a God that they believed in, that they served, and knew that God would be with them as they did His will. I ask you in conclusion, what is your life? What do you answer? What answer do you have? Paul said, here's my answer. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. The wise man Solomon said, now let's hear the conclusion. It's all over. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Or Stephen. Here he is. The stones are being thrown at him. What is your life, Stephen? His answer. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What is your life? For the last, I don't know how many years, on the first Sunday of the new year, and I won't be preaching that this year, so I said, well, this is the final, and I just have to read what I've been reading and suggesting you about life. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Dear teacher, I want a new leaf, he said. I've spoiled this one. I took the old leaf stained in blood and gave him a new one, all unspotted, and into his sad eyes smiled. Do better now, my child. I went to the throne with a quivering soul. The old year was done. Dear Father, hast Thou a new leaf for me? I've spoiled this one. He took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted, and into my sad heart smiled. Do better now, my child. God is so good to us. Let's sing it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Each one of us only have so many to turn. This morning, if you're in this audience and you're not a Christian, become one now so that you might rejoice. The angels might rejoice because there's forgiveness for you in that wonderful blessing of obeying the gospel. And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, or you want us to simply pray for you, come now. We'll be glad to do that. What is your life? It's even a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. Won't you come just as you are and obey the Lord while together we stand?